That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Seth, thanks so much for hanging out with me and putting up with me the last 3 days. I will pay for your therapy.
Oh, have a good weekend, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Join us next week for more Mornings with WFHR. Stick around for Morning Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Paul Gauguin Cruises.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The U.S. banking system is taking yet another hit. Silicon Valley Bank's parent company, SVB, is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Lauren Hirsch reports on business and finance for the New York Times.
All the cash that it gets in that process, its creditors are going to want to pocket. But the FDIC, which has taken control over the Silicon Valley Bank end of things and trying to sell that, is very likely going to want that cash to fill any hole that's in Silicon Valley Bank's balance sheet.
SVB cut loose from Silicon Valley Bank after it failed a week ago. Beijing says President Xi will fly to Moscow next week to meet with President Putin. China has refused to condemn Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. China expert Gordon Chang.
I suspect that they are going to strengthen their partnership. They're going to be even more challenging to the United States and its partners. This is a consequential moment.
A recent Politico report said China's been sending weapons, body armor, and drone parts to Russia. Correspondent Raymond Innocencios visited a village in southern Ukraine, a frequent target of Russian rockets.
70-year-old Natalia Koga never imagined war would hit her backyard. A gift from Russia, she says. Debris from a Grad rocket, a roof in tatters, a door blown from its hinges, a wall demolished.
New unrest over French President Emmanuel Macron's decision to force a bill raising the retirement age there from 62 to 64.
French workers are back on the streets today to protest at pension reforms the government forced through yesterday. Those reforms will see the retirement age raised from 62 to 64, still young by European standards. President Emmanuel Macron says the reforms are needed to ensure today's young people have a pension when they retire. But the unions have called for more strikes and protests and say they won't stop until the plan is scrapped altogether. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
A massive blob of seaweed wider than this entire country is drifting across the Atlantic. It could wash ashore just in time for spring break. And a giant red tide is killing fish along the Gulf Coast. CBS's Manuel Bujorquez is in Naples, Florida.
The ocean breeze carries the toxin released by the red tide algae ashore, where it can cause health problems for people. From scratchy throats to irritated eyes, all the way to difficulty breathing and asthma attacks.
This is St. Patrick's Day. Ireland's Prime Minister is having breakfast with Vice President Harris before he lunches with congressional leaders and later awards President Biden a shamrock. And he'll probably be very full by the time he gets there. Dow down 253. This is CBS News.
CBS News is brought to you by Paul Gauguin Cruises. Artfully authentic, all-inclusive year-round cruising to Tahiti and the South Pacific. Visit pgcruises.com today.
Oh, I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 22. West winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 12. Overcast tomorrow, chance of snow showers. High temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 17th, 2023. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. It's 10:05 on the clock, and you got your host, James J. Mailoff, here at 10:30. We're going to welcome in our friends from the League of Women Voters. We have Mary Dom coming in, along with Catherine Eckert, director of McMillan Memorial Library. Right now in studio, or I'm sorry, on the phone, we have Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I do want to send a shout-out to Pam Hilke. Scheduling Mr. Teston on St. Patrick's Day, we have a Patrick joining us. This is just too fitting, right? No, you have to be tired of that, sir. You've got to be tired of that.
Never gets old, but, hey, luck of the Irish, and it's a great day, so I can't complain.
You're a good sport, Patrick. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for joining us, and especially with your busy morning that you've had. You were just at the spring legislative breakfast. How did that go?
It went really well. I thought we had a really good conversation, and it's always great when the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce puts together these legislative breakfasts because, you know, it gives us an opportunity as elected officials to exchange ideas with community leaders and members and just about every sector, whether it's, you know, folks from industry, whether it's folks from mid-state, local officials, and just to kind of give them an update on where things are at down in Madison, especially now as we get ready to dive into the state budget process. And as a member of the Joint Finance Committee, I'm really looking forward to the weeks and months ahead and to really get feedback from individuals on, you know, what they like, what they don't like, and that's what we're really trying to encourage everyone, not just members of the Finance Committee, but all members of the legislature as they begin to go throughout their legislative districts to get direct impact and feedback from individuals. So as we enter budget deliberations and negotiations with our other colleagues and various agencies and different stakeholders, that we're really taking people's feedback in mind as we craft the next state budget.
When it comes to 2023 and going forward, really, in politics, how vital are these kind of town hall meetings, these things, when you're able to be a part of them as a politician and there's no chance for fake news when you're talking straight person to person here? You're able to relay information that is right from you. There's no way that you can miscue that.
It's critically important. I mean, because, you know, there are so many different issue areas that are impacted throughout the state budget. And sometimes we might not necessarily know how a particular provision in the budget impacts someone both directly and indirectly back home. And so when you get to have that interaction and that line of communication with the people you represent, it's extremely useful. And that's why I'm strongly encouraging people as our colleagues begin to get these scheduled around their various districts. What I've really been pushing is to encourage people, if they're able to attend, the Joint Finance Committee is going to have several public hearings around the state starting on April 5th. And so in April 5th, we'll be in Waukesha at the Waukesha County Expo Center from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. April 11th, we'll be in Eau Claire at the Davies Student Center, again, from 10 a.m. till 5. One that's a little bit closer to home is going to be April 12th in the Wisconsin Dells at the Wilderness Resort, again, from 10 to 5. And then April 26th up in Minocqua at the Lakeland Union High School. And so this is an opportunity for members of the public to show up and give their input. And then the other new mechanism that we have that's new for the Finance Committee this year is that if you are for some reason unable to attend any of the Joint Finance Committee public hearings, and if you're not able to attend your own legislators' in-district budget hearings and listening sessions, The Joint Finance Committee, for the first time ever, has created a website where people will have the opportunity to provide public comment and input that will be shared with members of the Finance Committee as well as individual members from their respective districts. So we're trying to provide as many pathways and opportunities to receive that vital public input.
What were some of the main talking points that came up today at the breakfast?
You know, I think some of the big discussion points that came up today as it relates to shared revenue. You know, obviously this is a huge point of emphasis for the counties, the League of Municipalities, the Towns Association. And so, you know, there are conversations ongoing. They're still very high level, but we're hoping to make some changes to the shared revenue formula. So money's going back to the government that's closest to the people to provide for specific services, whether it's fire, EMS, and police services, even down to the ability to maintain our infrastructure, whether it's our county, our state highway trunk system, our county highways, right down to our town roads. And so that was a big area of conversation. Other topics that we touched on was just kind of the budget in general, where things stand with what the governor proposed. We had conversations as it relates to K-12. And really, I think probably one of the big areas that we focused a lot on was economic development, primarily talent attraction, affordable housing, things like tax reform, how these all interact with one another, and are all individual pieces of a much larger puzzle on how we can continue to move our state in the right direction.
You feel like some good conversation came of that?
Yeah, I thought we had a very good back and forth, a healthy dialogue. And so it's events like this that really encourage me, because, you know, we can have differences of opinion and we may not always all agree, but what I've always enjoyed about this area of the state in particular is that, you know, at the end of the day, we all want what's best for our region, and finding that collaboration and that agreement, I think, goes a long way moving forward, and that's how you get results done.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. And, sir, one of the things that I was thinking about leading into this and our conversation, doing some homework this weekend for questions for you and everything, and talking to the listeners out there, these town hall meetings are important for you to be able to talk to constituents. It's similar to you going door to door and talking to them. But I'm curious, as we move forward with social media and the 24-hour news cycle, all these things, it's so important for our representatives to be on the ground level with the constituents, to understand truly what they are, what their needs are. It's your job. It's part of it. How do you do that? How do you not, you know, just, you know, have all your thoughts and everything just in a bubble, like we all tend to do these days? How do you get outside of that bubble to hear what people are in need of?
Well, I mean, it's doing events like this morning, showing up to chamber breakfast to hear from community leaders. It's, you know, showing up to the Elks Lodge on a Friday night and going to a fish fry and just, you know, and having a beer and a fish fry and just talking to people on what's on their mind. I mean, and then doing our listening sessions. Now, we haven't scheduled ours yet, as you can probably imagine. We've been very busy as we begin to get briefed by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau on different state agencies and various stakeholder meetings, but we're going to be getting those out there hopefully shortly. And really, it's just about being accessible. And when people contact us, we try and get back to them in a reasonable time frame. I can't say we bat 1,000, but we do our best to keep in touch and then also encourage people to reach out, whether it's through our official Senate page, follow us on social media. I mean, I'm not hard to get a hold of, that's for sure.
That's very true. We appreciate that, by the way, over here on this end. Wisconsin lost nearly 1 million acres of farmland between 2010 and 2021. There is a new bipartisan group of legislators led by yourself to reintroduce some legislation to update the Farmland Preservation Program. That's right from your own newsletter. I'll let you tell the audience a little more about this and what you and your colleagues are working on here.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin Farmland Preservation Tax Credit has existed since 1977, and it's critically important, especially now more than ever, as you alluded to, because from 2010 to 2021, Wisconsin lost 1 million acres of usable farmland. And when you consider the fact that Wisconsin is a national leader and producer of things like potato and vegetables, we're one of the top producers of corn and soy in the entire country, there's a strong case to be made that Wisconsin not only helps feed the country, but helps feed the world. And we want to make sure that is a trend that continues. And one of the tools that has been around since 1977 is the Farmland Preservation Tax Credit. Now, the one issue, though, that has occurred is that it hasn't necessarily, the program hasn't changed in recent years to continue usership and, more importantly, to encourage more buy-in for farmers to participate in the program. And so what we have done over the last couple sessions is we've introduced the bill, and it seems to gain a little bit more traction each and every time to make changes to the program that were really based on survey results that the Department of Agriculture sent out to farmers who were enrolled in the program or may have expressed interest to be in the program. And we took that feedback and used it to draft this legislation that would essentially, anyone who's enrolled in this program is committed for 15 years that they want to continue to receive these tax credits to use things like cover crops and other best management practices. And so under our existing law, if you enroll in this program, you're locked in for 15 years. We'd like to lower that participation timeline down to 10 years, and then also to help encourage more buy-in, help raise the available amount of tax credits per acre that exists currently in the program.
Anything that we can do to kind of try to keep the life and build, bring some new life, maybe some new blood into the farming industry, the ag industry, seems like it's going to be helpful. One of the ways that I think is a great way of looking at some of this stuff sometimes is if you're on the fence on it or you're on the other side of it and we're trying to win you over with it. Imagine Wisconsin without the ag industry. Imagine if we did not have the agriculture industry in this state. I mean, it's a ghost town. I didn't want to think about it. I can't even imagine what it looked like. Now imagine the rest of the country without Wisconsin having its ag industry or its strong ag industry. It's scary. It's something that we want to play offense on this. We don't want to play defense. We're already kind of playing a little defense on it with you. Had those numbers I gave you early. We lost 1 million acres. That right there should hopefully get people's attention and hopefully get some bipartisan support on this bill. It says that the proposed circulated co-sponsorship around March 12th. So how did that go?
It went well. I mean, it's out there for co-sponsorship. We've got more co-sponsors than we have in any previous session that this bill has been introduced. And I'm really encouraged because Senator Howard Markwein, who is the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, has signed on. And so when you're talking things that revolve around any appropriations or a tax credit, when you've got the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, you feel pretty optimistic about your chances. And the fact that it's bipartisan, the fact that you have conservation groups who are in support, you have the aid coalition groups who are in support, I think we've got a really good opportunity to make critical and much needed changes to this vital tax credit program for our farmers.
Senator Teston, if I was not here interviewing you, there's a good chance that I would be off fighting fires with some of our bravest and best out there. You recently spent some time with them, you and Representative Shankland. You were there to celebrate the FEMA grant that they received over at the Stevens Point Fire Department. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so this was late last month. It was announced that the Stevens Point Fire Department received a $238,000 grant from FEMA to help purchase new equipment for their self-contained breathing apparatuses. And this was these are very competitive grants. We're very fortunate that one of our very own departments here in Central Wisconsin received this because, you know, their equipment was outdated. Oh, it was about 15 years old. And the city had already planned to use some of their capital budget to purchase new equipment. And thanks to these FEMA grants, they're able to buy these new self-contained breathing apparatuses, which are state-of-the-art. And it's hopefully going to free up that what would have been a capital investment by the city to reinvest into other areas for public safety. And so myself, Representative Shankland, Senator Baldwin's office were there because we had all supported the grant application for the fire department. And it's, again, another one of those prime examples of when you can put aside, you know, your political differences and roll up your sleeves and do what's in the best interest for our communities, you see the results. And what was really fun about this experience, so, you know, we were there to just, you know, say a few words of support. And then afterwards, they actually allowed us to demonstrate the this new equipment. And what was pretty neat about this is that they had the ability to plug into what are called buddy lines. So if for some reason someone's tank went down or if there was an issue, you can hook up to another individual's tank and be able to breathe oxygen. And so we got to demonstrate that, Representative Shanklin and I, and it was a neat experience. But I'll be the first to admit, I don't know if I would have the stomach to wear that going into a burning house like our brave men and women who serve in our fire departments all across the state.
Well said. It's very good to hear. It's encouraging to hear, too, and especially as we've all heard the stories of we need firefighters, we need more men and women in this industry. We can't expect to ask them to go into an industry where we're not giving them the right equipment. It's very encouraging to hear. Recently, you met with Representative Sarah Lemieux and George Stacey from the Ho-Chunk Nation. You guys had an interesting discussion. Would you mind telling us a little about that?
Yeah. So as is always the case at the start of every new session, and especially going into a budget cycle, you know, we get a lot of requests as people come down for various lobby days, and I got to meet with a couple of the legislators from the Ho-Chunk Nation. And you know, I've had a really good working relationship with the Ho-Chunk, and you know, we've worked on issues together over the years and have been very supportive. In fact, I've offered to go do one of my on the jobs at the Ho-Chunk, which we're currently trying to get that worked out, and have had the opportunity to address their legislature in years past, and have even extended an offer into if they have any historic artwork that they want displayed, I'd be more than happy to display it in my Capitol office. I mean, they provide such a rich history to our state, and you know, they have such a big economic footprint, especially in central and western Wisconsin. I think it's important that we have these partnerships, which is why I was really proud to attend and listen to the State of the Tribes like I do every year. And, you know, there was a lot of areas where, you know, crossover on issues that we're also working on. In fact, one of the first issues that was addressed at the State of the Tribes was the need to allow our advanced practice registered nurses to operate at the highest level of their license. I was actually stunned that this was a huge priority for them, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, this makes sense. Many of our tribes are in more rural areas where there's a shortage of healthcare providers, and you know, if this legislation can become law, which I hope it will, it's going to provide more health outcomes and access to underserved areas. And there's no question that many of our tribes fall into that category.
It's really cool, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. Senator Tessin and I have been talking for a couple of years now doing this show together, and one of the things that you can relate to, I imagine, sir, is since we've been doing this, it never fails. I will get some emails from some people saying that I'm way too easy on you, and I'll get some emails from some people saying I'm way too hard on you, or that one way or another I am being biased, or you're being biased, or station is, or something like that, and you're going to have that nowadays, and I get it. But it's part of the reason I bring this up is to bring up the next topic here. I'm not 100% sure if you can even address this or touch on it too much, but it recently came out in the news that there was that you had accepted some donations over the legal maximum over several donors. Just to touch on this, is there anything you can say to address it, or do we need to move on?
No, I was actually surprised that this issue was brought up, because this is an issue that's been resolved now for a couple of years.
That's what I thought.
And so what had happened was, after my 2020 election, there was a reporter from the Badger Examiner who had reached out, because my race in 2020 was one of the highest legislative races in the state. And so what had happened was, this reporter reached out, we did an interview, and then he had a follow-up, and he had called me about a week later and said, "Well, are you aware you had some donations that went over the legal limit?" I said, "Well, hold on, let me take a look." So we did an internal audit, and come to find out, in fact, we had some individuals who went over the legal amount. And sometimes, you know, it wasn't anything nefarious. In fact, it was comical. The Wisconsin Bankers Pack, they gave over the legal limit. You would think bankers are pretty good at crunching numbers. But
I'm sorry, that is kind of funny. That is kind of funny.
Yeah. Life is full of irony. So, I mean, we followed all the procedures. The over donations were returned. And then, you know, obviously, you know, we made a mistake. We paid a fine to the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, and that was that. So I was a little surprised that the story popped up in the last couple months or two. But You know, this was an issue that was resolved in 2021.
Well, to me, the surprising part was that the story kind of was already told. Like, I feel like it was already done, and I don't know why it necessarily came up again. But I do appreciate you addressing it, and I do think it isn't, obviously, and I'm sure you agree with me, accountability is very important, especially for our political parties, our political people. But, you know, that being said, it did seem like a story that already happened. I wasn't sure necessarily why. Didn't seem any new news to it, so do appreciate you addressing it. Recently, you were on the job. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, last Friday I had the chance to do one of my monthly on-the-job series down at the operating engineers down in Coloma at their training facility. And let me tell you, it was a really great experience. I mean, and truly what they're able to do with their training facility, there is nothing like it anywhere else in the country. Local 139 does a phenomenal job. And so, you know, they got to not only take me around, but I also got to try my hand on some of the equipment. I got to do my best on an excavator, and they let me operate a crane, which I was told they've never allowed any other legislator to do that, so please don't tell OSHA. All jokes aside, but it was good for me because, you know, not only did I get to see firsthand just the level of training that goes in, and really just how much they care and take pride in their facility and the work that they do, whether it's from the entry level jobs to the maintenance crew that is tasked with maintaining all the equipment that comes in from contractors all across the state. I mean, it truly is a model facility, and I'm really looking forward to their expansion project down there, which is going to open up more pathways for individuals who want and are excited about work within the trades, and they provide some of the best around.
And you know, when we were talking earlier, and there is a connection here. When I was asking about, you know, we all live in these bubbles, and how do you get outside of those bubbles? I would think that you're on the job series is one of those as well that helps you do that. You're learning about these jobs certainly, and that's great, and it's good to see you in there and doing those things. But also, the organic conversations I imagine you have with the clients and the people that are there.
Yeah, and that's one of the most enjoyable things for me and why we do it. I mean, prime example, back in the summer of 2018, I got to spend work alongside a night paving crew, American Asphalt, when they were doing work on I-39 between Stevens Point and Clover. And it gave me a far greater appreciation for what these guys do, well, guys and gals do, because at one point they had me up in the paver as one lane was... They only had one lane on I-39, and you've got semis and vehicles that are zipping by you just a few feet from your head that are doing 60, 70 miles in what should be a 55 posted zone. And so, I mean, it's dangerous work, but at the same time, the pride that these individuals take to really help build our infrastructure, I think it says a lot about their character and just the true grit and, you know, of these individuals that they do what they do because they love it and they take pride in what they do. And I think that is an art form that is sometimes lost with some individuals. And, you know, that's why I do the On the Job series, not just to get out there and experience something different, but to really, again, reaffirm and really drive home the narrative that there is dignity in all forms of work.
Well said. Always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning and in town at the Legislative Breakfast. It was great to have you there. Take care. Have a great St. Patrick's Day, and we'll talk again next month.
You as well.
And we'll be back with more our friends from the League of Women Voters in part two. That's coming up right here on WFHR's Morning Magazine.
The Badgers men's basketball team is in postseason play, and you can hear the action from the National Invitational Tournament on these local Civic Media radio stations. Wisconsin hosts Liberty in the second round of the NIT this Sunday with an 11 a.m. tip-off. WFHR, 1320 a.m., 97.5 FM in Wisconsin Rapids is our flagship station. In Richland Center, dial up WRCE, 1450 a.m. or 107.7 FM. And in Amory, tune in 1260 a.m. WLAK. Every win in the NIT, find the Badgers on these local Civic Media radio stations and on the app.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world. Until the season changes and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 22. West winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, chance for snow showers, lows dip down to about 12. Overcast tomorrow, chance of snow showers, high temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this March 17th, 2023. It is 10:31 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. I am joined today by a couple of friends of ours, one from the League of Women Voters of the Wisconsin Rapids area. We have Mary Dom with us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here again.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Mary, this is your first time in our new studio, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, cool.
And I'm very impressed.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Nice,
yeah. It's nice. Thank you for being here, Mary. Appreciate it. And we have Catherine Elkert with us, director of McMillan Memorial Library. Catherine, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
I know you've been here once before already and everything. We're going to have to bring you by more often.
I know. I love coming over here.
Any chance to talk with the library, talk about the library, you know I'm going to take it. So I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate that, James.
We'll get you even in your own office or something. we'll have you around here a lot. We're here to talk about, of course, the upcoming events and for voters, plus other election information. When it comes to this topic, well, first off, let's go ahead and mention why we have not only the League of Women Voters with us, but of course, McMillan Library here. What does McMillan have to do with voting? Well, it has a lot to do. For one, there's a lot of information over there at the library, but also you guys are going to be hosting a great event. Can we tell people about that?
Oh, I can't wait. So next Wednesday, March 22nd, at the McMillan Library, we are going to be hosting kind of a meet and greet co-sponsored with our friends at the League. And you'll be able to come meet the different candidates that will be on your ballot in April. So from 5 to 6, we'll have the Wisconsin Rapids Public School Board candidates. From 6 to 7, the Wisconsin Rapids City Council candidates. And from 7 to 8, the Wood County Branch 4 for the Circuit Court candidates. So we're really excited. And frankly, James, I think the library is the perfect place to make sure that people have access to the information they need from a trustworthy source, right? Right from the candidates. We are so happy to be hosting this event with the League.
Yeah. Catherine, I couldn't. Some of the word choices you had there were exactly what went through my head when I first saw the flyer.
Yeah.
Like, perfect place to have this, trusted, respected place to have this, which we need, you know, at any point in time, but especially in 2023 and going forward.
Yes.
I was just talking with Senator Teston about this, the importance of nowadays, how important, like, city hall meetings have always been important for representatives, but in today's day and age, where it's just me talking to him, and there's no chance of fake news or misinformation or any of these key words that people like to pull on nowadays, you have straight up source to source kind of thing. this is a very similar scenario with what's going to happen at the library.
Yeah, we're really, I mean, I of course think public libraries are the bedrock of democracy, right? Mm-hmm. An informed citizenship is an engaged and active one, and we want the best for our community. And what's so great about this is, where else can you find this kind of level of detail for our local elections? You know, I'm fairly new to the area. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know. I don't recognize most of these names. Yeah. So I was so excited when the league approached the library to host this event.
Yeah, Mary, is that how this came to be? How did that go, reaching out to them about this?
Well, ever since the pandemic, we no longer do voter forums. Mm-hmm. We used to do voter forums. And in 2019, we started partnering with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media to do candidate interviews. And those are still ongoing, so I would like to encourage people to also go on the Wisconsin Rapids Media website, and there will be a schedule of interviews that will appear there, and people can view it on their computer. Mm-hmm. These are not live broadcasts mm-hmm. like the forums used to be, but they can be repeated and rewatched, and it's a good opportunity again to learn about where candidates stand on the issues. Also, we had heard in the community that candidates were striking out on their own and doing their own meet and greets. Mm-hmm. And we thought to ourselves, well, why can't that is something the league would like to do. Mm-hmm. We had never done one, so this is kind of our pilot. But if it goes well, I think we'll continue to do the meet and greets. Mm-hmm. And of course, we don't have all the candidates at the meet and greet that will appear on your ballot. Mm-hmm. But we do have the school board, the city council, and of course, the Wood County Branch 4th Circuit Court. This is just an aside, but if you want to know what's going to be on your ballot, there's a website, a state of Wisconsin website called myvote.wi.gov, and it gives you a wealth of information about who your city clerk would be and what's going to be on your ballot, how to register to vote, what to bring to the polling site when you go, because you'll need a photo ID. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to also take advantage of that. And of course, if they don't have a computer, they have the library.
Yeah, come on over to the library. We would love to help you get set up. That information, that web, I'm a huge fan of that website. I use it actually fairly often. So we would be so happy to kind of walk you through the process.
Mary, when it comes to the League of Women Voters, I imagine that all of you get paid thousands of dollars to do this, and you know, tons of celebrityism and all. No, it's when I think of you guys, I think of democracy.
Right.
I think of the essence of democracy, the spirit of democracy. I think that many people look at your big name politicians and these kind of things when it comes to politics. The first thing I think of when I think of politics is people like yourself that keep democracy alive. Is what was it that brought? What was it that for you, why you wanted to be a part of the League of Women Voters?
Well, first of all, the League of Women Voters as a national organization was 100 years old in 2020.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, cool.
And in this local league was started in 1969, so it turned 50 in 2019.
That's awesome.
What attracted me was, before we take a position on any issue, we have to study it.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't anything we just take lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to reach a consensus to come to an authoritative position on issues. So that's what attracted me to the organization. Also, because I'm passionate about voting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just feel that is where the rubber meets the road. That's where the citizen gets to make their voice heard. So April 4, everybody get out and vote.
Yeah,
well said, Mary. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that as well. I don't think it's also a coincidence that you see more and more, not only women, but ethnic people being involved in politics, caring about voting. When you have people that, maybe it wasn't us that dealt with this, but our ancestors or people that paved the way for us that didn't have this right always. I know that that seems like a long time ago to some. It wasn't that long ago. Wasn't long enough ago, that's for sure. So I don't think it's a coincidence when you see people like yourselves or a lot of ethnic people getting getting involved in politics nowadays and caring about voting and voting rights. And that brings me to that part of this. When it comes to informing people of their voting rights, of that, how much of that do you take on yourself? Because it seems like something that we wouldn't want you guys to do, but it feels like you guys kind of do that a little bit.
Well, we have an active Get Out the Vote committee, and we are targeting and trying to bring information to underrepresented communities. And one of our contacts recently has been with the Hmong American Center. We have offered to contribute to the cost of interpreter services. So when they're going to be rebroadcasting the interviews off of the Wisconsin Rapids community and airing it on their Hmong radio site. So
awesome.
We're trying to do outreach. We go to the senior center. One of the big questions people ask the league frequently is, how do we learn about the candidates?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question. I just wanted to make people aware, and I kind of worked up a list. If you get the newspaper, the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune, these past few days, starting on Monday, I think, they started publishing question and answers in the newspaper. And you can get that online or the paper version, or again, go to the library. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a subscription, you can read about the candidates that way. There's also a national site, Vote 411, which is the National League's website. It's a comprehensive place for people to find information out about voting, and you enter your state and zip code, and it'll go all the way down to the local level. Candidates do get asked to submit their answers to questions on that website, but it's just getting started, and I think the only local candidates that actually participated this year in the Vote 411 for our area are the candidates for Wood County Branch 4 Circuit Court. Of course, the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, which I mentioned, the Meet and Greet, and we also encourage people to tune in to Here and Now on March 24th, because that's the debate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and it will be re-aired on PBS Wisconsin on the 24th at 7:30, again at 11:30 on the 25th, and then again on the 26th. So hopefully everybody will have an opportunity to view that debate.
Mary, you rock. You're awesome. You're the League of Women Voters. You guys rock. You guys are so awesome. Catherine and I are going to take the rest of the tie off.
My hero. You guys are my heroes.
I'm just going to turn your mic on and let you do your thing.
Yeah.
Right now. Appreciate that. Thank you so much for the great information there. Appreciate that. We're going to take a commercial break in a second here, but I did want to let people know, to kind of piggyback off of what Mary was saying there. News director here at Civic Media, Terry Bell, will be sharing responses from the State Supreme Court Forum and with the two candidates for Supreme Court judge on Tuesday, March 21st from 6 to 7 here, right here on Civic Media, as we are just at Mary's Town.
Oh, man.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more conversation here on The Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Your forecast from locally
I learned
radio.
From my adoptive mom.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 22. West winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 12. Overcast tomorrow, chance of snow showers. High temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this March 17th, 2023. We are talking with Mary Dom from the League of Women Voters of the Wisconsin Rapids area and Catherine Eckert, Director of McMillan Memorial Library. And appreciate you both being here so much. Thanks for the time and everything you're doing. We were going to break and we were touching on a couple of things. I did want to just piggyback off something Mary was saying about Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I'll also encourage you to not only go to their website, but their YouTube page. If you type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, they have a lot of these interviews on there. It's a great way to catch those. Also a great way to catch our interviews with Morning Magazine. They're also on there too. Shameless plug. But it is great. It is a great resource, and a big thank you to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Joe, Taylor, the gang over there do great work.
Absolutely. They play a huge role in getting these candidate interviews together. We give them the list of candidates. They contact the candidates, bring them into the studio individually. It's a very time consuming. And right now for the general election, they're recontacting the school board candidates, and four of those have confirmed, but that doesn't mean more won't. They're also going to interview the city council candidates. They're making a contact with Port Edwards president. The trustees were interviewed during the primary, and that will be replayed with some amendments because of the primary election outcome. Wood County Circuit Court Branch 4 judges have both been interviewed, and that will get played on air or through their website. Again, nothing's live, so you have to really go online and check it out. So that's it for now. But if you missed the scheduled broadcasts, and again, thank you to Joe Bachman for all of his hard work, you can go into their archives and watch it really at your convenience.
So nice.
It's a very convenient, great resource. Yeah. It's a wonderful resource to have here. One of the things that I also wanted to touch on is that we're so kind of used to it, we kind of just keep moving. And that's life. That's the way it is. But there's certain things that I think we take for granted, and not so much take for granted in the traditional sense of that, but in the sense of just life keeps moving and it's constantly going. But think of everything we've discussed already in the last 15 minutes. All the different groups, all the different people that have come together to make democracy sing, to make it ring, you know? It never gets old to me. It's so cool. And this is not just going on in our community. This is communities across the country that are doing this kind of thing. All these people coming together just to make democracy happen. It's a beautiful thing. There's a lot of ways to take shots at our government and to take shots at democracy and those things. I chose to hold accountability to those things, but to look at the other side of it and look at for every one or two things that are wrong, look at the thousands and thousands of things that are going right when it comes to this. We're a young country. We forget this sometimes. We're a teenager compared to Russia or China or something like that. We're gonna have growing pains. We don't always get along. We argue sometimes. That's part of the beauty of our country, is that not everybody is not a dictatorship where everybody has to think and feel the same thing. That's what we are getting away from, the monarchy, these kind of things. Right. It's a good thing that we don't all get along sometimes. Or don't always see it eye to eye, but the getting along part is the part that I want us to get back to. Right. It's one thing to disagree with somebody. It's another to act like children.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't mean to be blunt about this, but I'm a little burnt out. I've been doing this job for a while, and I'm a little burnt out of the idea of doubling down politics or whatism politics and that kind of thing. I respect, and I'm so thankful that in this area we have a lot of grown adults that are holding these positions.
Right.
when it comes to questions that you guys are asked, either one of you really, but especially for the League of Women Voters, let's go through some of the basic questions that people might ask and kind of where to direct them, if you don't mind, Mary.
Sure.
Like, how do I know what is on the ballot before I vote? What website is a great website? I think you mentioned this earlier, but just to remind people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, the most important website is myvote.wi.gov. And it's really all you need because it links to other, like, oh, I don't know what I have to bring to the polls on election day. Well, it links to Bring It, which talks about what IDs will count, will be acceptable when you have to present it to the poll worker on election day or when you're voting absentee. So I would recommend that website first and foremost.
That's myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. What about if I want resources to learn about the candidates? Is there a website that we can send people to that?
Well, unfortunately, the comprehensive website that was designed by the League of Women Voters is Vote411. And as I mentioned earlier, it hasn't caught on the way we would like it to. Ideally, that would be the place for everybody to go for information on voting, as well as the answers the candidates are given by the league to answer. And right now, there is really no comprehensive. That's why I had a whole list of places for people to go.
Mary, I don't want you to think you're going crazy. I know I did talk to you. You did rehash this. I just wanted to make sure that the audience got that information.
It does require a little digging.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't like, there it is. So
I'm glad you said that, because I personally, like, especially in this day and age, we walk around with these supercomputers where I can look up who won the World Series in 1983 if I want in 2 seconds, that kind of thing. I think we've gotten used to easy access to information. I don't want to say voting should be hard, but it shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't necessarily be just like breathing. It should take some homework. It should take some digging. This is a birthright that we share with our fellow Americans, but it was not given to us that easily. It was not earned that easily.
Right.
Not just for minorities or for women, but I mean just in general, just democracy in general. If you've got to do a little homework online, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for you. Try to have some perspective and think about what your ancestors went through to be able to get this done. And go ahead and click on the keyboard there and do some darn homework and be informed. It's not that hard.
They stood for hours listening to speeches at public forums.
Yeah.
And we still have it pretty easy compared to our ancestors. Yeah. So.
It's a great idea to send people to the places that you did. You mentioned the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune. If you don't have a subscription, being able to go to the library. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media that we have touched on there. Mm-hmm. When it comes to other questions that maybe aren't on here or things that you think you've been asked over the years or know that are on people's minds, is there anything we can answer for them there as far as the voting process?
Well, I would say, again, myvote.wi.gov. Put in your name and address, and it'll tell you if you're registered to vote. And if you are not, it's too late to register online. It's 20 days prior to the election is the deadline. But you can go to your municipal clerks are an absolute treasure trove.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are the definitive. If you have questions, call your city clerk, and you can go into their office, and you can say, I want to register to vote. And luckily, Wisconsin has election day, same day voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't get around to it and you get to the polls, you'll still be able to go to a table, bring your information, and register to vote the day of the election. Do remember that voter registration is about proof of where you live.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your identity as much as it. They want to know where you live, because depending on where you live, you'll have a different ballot.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the city, you might be in Aldermanic District 1 or Aldermanic District 6, and each of those Aldermanic districts this time are going to have different candidates on the ballot. So that's a good reason to look to see what is going to be on your ballot. which is accessible. So make sure you're registered, and then make sure you also have the, one of the catchphrases now is make a plan to vote. And that really is true.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you're registered, you have proper documents to get registered, and that when you go to the polls, you have a photo ID that can be accepted as proof of your identity.
Yeah, I walked in during the November election. I registered to vote on site, and it was so slick.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It was incredible. I had my ID. I had proof of my address because we just moved, and the volunteers were great. It was so wonderful.
Catherine, you mentioned that you just moved here and everything. We've talked about that the last time you joined us and everything. But when it comes to this subject and you know, voting, understanding the issues, all of that, how has it gone for you as a new citizen in the area, learning all these things, along with, of course, all the other stuff you've got to learn and got going on and everything? I know you got a lot on your plate.
Yes. Well, I'm really fortunate. I'm very privileged, right? I'm a librarian. I have great research skills. But even I, you know, struggle to kind of dig through all of the different websites, all the information. So that's why I'm so grateful to the League, because they really kind of do some of that work for us. There's lots of information from the League at the library on two nice little tables. So if you want kind of like a cheat sheet, you can always come. Or, you know, you can find out what you think about the candidates yourself on Wednesday, meeting them firsthand, asking them about the questions that are important to you. I, for one, am really looking forward to this because, as always, I have lots of questions.
The area you came from, were they similar to like this as far as how they handled elections or informing people?
It was we had a wonderful Rice Lake Community Media, so they did interviews and in the paper, but the library wasn't as involved. We didn't have a League, so it was difficult to partner with people. So that's why I'm so excited, because I think the library is truly the perfect platform for this, because everybody is welcome. And like Mary said, some of the candidates were doing this at the library even before we knew about it. So it was kismet.
It just works that way. I also have to say, I think that another good idea for having it at the library, and I don't think, again, in central Wisconsin this comes up nearly as much, but we instinctively lower our voices at the library. We just do. Whether we're five or we're 55, we just do. And I like the idea of it being an environment that you're automatically going into with some respect.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And the idea of hopefully we have the voices and the energy and all that and a good vibe on a good level, everybody treating each other respectfully. You tend to do that. There's only a handful of places in society that you're going to hold yourself in check, and the library is one of them.
So I
think that that's a really good fit for those reasons too. Certainly not the main reason, but it's a nice added bonus to this. When it comes to the library itself, I hope you guys don't mind. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
Would you mind if we just touched on the library itself real quick? Anything you wanted to highlight going on over there? Because we just haven't had you in a while.
Well, you know I love talking about the library. Yes. So we've got lots, as always, we've got tons of fun things going on. Story times are happening.
We have
the movies, the Monday movies. We've got showings at 1:30 with closed captioning, which is great. And then a later showing at 6. And then we are trying to show some movies on Saturdays for those that have a hard time coming in during the week. Our makerspace is up and running, and you can sign up for classes. This month, they're making these like really cute little plush. They call them ugly dolls. They're so adorable.
That's awesome.
And then we're doing reading challenges, too. So, grown-ups, you have until the end of March to turn in your reading slips, and you'll get a really cool prize, James.
Nice, nice. Okay, I'm signing up right now.
I know, you got it.
Boy, you're good.
I know.
That got me. I was at the library this week and was checking out some of the art from some of the grade school kids here.
It's so wonderful to have. I wish we could have this all year round.
Yeah.
It makes me so happy.
You can't not smile looking at this work. And it's good.
It's really incredible. I love it.
It's artwork from all of our local grade schools around here, and a bunch of different, each grade kind of got to put some art up. The library has done this since I was a kid, and some of my work has been featured over there before, and I can even thinking about it right now, I get excited because I remember what it felt like. A nice job by the library always doing this and holding these things for these kids.
Of course.
Really cool.
We had kind of the meet and greet for the families last week, and it was so wonderful seeing those kiddos like show their families their work and their pride. pride and just kind of encouraging that in a public communal way.
If you want to find out more, we encourage you to head on over to Macmillan. Go to MacmillanLibrary.org. That's MacmillanLibrary.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Just as a side note, tomorrow, 1 to 3:30, Singing in the Rain. Classic.
Classic.
Classic. Classic. Just a classic movie. If you haven't seen that in a while, it's a good environment
so
to see it in.
Yeah.
I love that movie. God, it just gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. One more time, I want to remind everybody to join us on March 22nd at Macmillan Memorial Library. Learn who will be on your ballot. Join at Macmillan for a meet and greet with the candidates for local public office. From 5 to 6 o'clock that day, you'll be able to meet Wisconsin Rapids Public School Board candidates. From 6 to 7, Wisconsin Rapids City Council candidates. And from 7 to 8, Wood County Branch 4 Circuit Court candidates. The event is co-sponsored, of course, from the League of Women Voters and Macmillan Library. We'll be talking about this and sending people your way for this event. I cannot thank you both enough for putting up with me for a half an hour.
Thank you so
but most importantly, for what you do for our community, what you do for this country with continuing.